You are listening to a podcast of the Fleming Foundation. We are an organization pursuing real learning, original scholarship, and thoughtful living in a dying age.
Welcome back to Surely You Must Be Joking, Dr. Fleming. I'm your host, Stephen Heiner, and with me as always is our namesake, Dr. Thomas Fleming. Dr. Fleming, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
I've been reading your posts on the authoritarian personality on our website as of late, and the implication seems to be that you think people are incapable of rational judgment. Surely you must be joking, Dr. Fleming.
Well, surely you must be joking if you think you found in the American people a treasure trove of rationality. Look at any public controversy, anything that will be reported on NPR or Fox, CNN, and what you generally see is that neither side is capable of thinking straight, coherently, without constantly contradicting their own positions, much less actually making up their minds independently. It doesn't matter what the subject is, whatever the hot subject in the news, same-sex marriage, the infanticide, which they call abortion, Trump's wall in Mexico, the very people who say, you know, you can't build a wall, it's immoral, of course, are building huge walls around their own estates. Of course, I'm referring specifically to Barack Obama. All we hear in public discourse, and these are people who are paid to be discoursing, that is, both politicians and people in the media, brilliant minds like George Will, all we hear are cliches, sound bites, and slogans.
So, well, you mentioned quite a few issues. So let's take the issue of attacks on Trump first. So when we think about what's going on in Oregon, in Portland, you have rival demonstrations both for Trump and against Trump. And even in the mix are the as they're called, alt-right, whatever that means.
Yeah, it's a funny name. I keep on getting requests on my Facebook page and on the website to talk about alt-right. And I've been turning them down because it's really a very silly, trivial movement of sort of dispossessed, unhappy young men. But the name is funny. You know, the American Spectator, if you ever used to read it in your youth, was originally called The Alternative. But they always explain on their title page or contents page, and I quote, "By November 1977, the word alternative had acquired such an esoteric fragrance that in order to discourage unsolicited manuscripts from florists, beauticians, and other creative types, the club reverted to the magazine's original name, that is, The Spectator." Now, this is Bob Tyrrell and Vlady Plyshinsky's delicate way of referring to what people used to describe politely as the alternative lifestyle, in order to avoid using blunter words like homosexual or pervert.
So, you know, Dr. Fleming, the good old days when you could simply say the alternative lifestyle as opposed to an alternative lifestyle,
yes,
I suppose.
This is before we had alternative genders. This is before you could be stigmatized for being... My wife asked me, what do they mean I'm a cisgender woman? It means you're not a self-invented freak.
Yes, you know, November 1977 was before my time, Dr. Fleming.
Yes. But so by borrowing, my point is in borrowing the term alternative, the alternative right, the alt-right, I can only assume that these rather androgynous young men with poofy hairdos are trying to tell us something about themselves. Perhaps I'm wrong, but it really sends off a very strange whiff.
Well, in Oregon, you'd also have that mix of metrosexuals and lumberjacks, right?
You
have the bearded class, as one might call them.
Yeah, it must be funny at after-hours bars when the two groups mix. Unfortunately, such things do happen in more senses than one.
But so we're joking about this, but is there anything serious at stake here with these bearded types, alternative lifestyle or alt-right types, whatever they are?
Well, yes and no. It's not really serious. The anti-Trumpers insist, though, that anybody who disagrees with them is a bigot, and therefore... This is what makes it interesting. The pro-Trump people shouldn't be allowed to hold a meeting or express themselves about anything. because they have almost forfeited their right to live. I mean, this is, we're talking about real orthodoxy here. When it's not just that somebody else is completely wrong, but if they don't have a, even, you know, if all the world save one had one opinion and only one dissented, the majority would be, he would be no more right to silence them than they would be to silence him. All of that civil libertarian and free speech stuff, that's gone. An NPR reporter interviewed and found that most of the pro-Trump demonstrators wanted to go to the meeting were merely supporters of the Donald. But they said in horrified tones, some were so bigoted, they actually thought illegal immigrants should be sent home. Now, in other words, even to suggest that laws be enforced or that the most fundamental rights of nationhood should be maintained, that is, the right to control your border, who comes in and, you know, who doesn't, that this is now bigotry of such a terrifying type that it shouldn't be allowed to express itself or crawl out from under the rock.
Do you know, Dr. Fleming, so as a two-time immigrant myself, I feel that I have a finger on the pulse here, but I often note that the people who are least likely to be out with campaign signs or placards saying immigration is a fundamental human right are immigrants, because we're too busy working or running businesses to go out and pretend that our privilege of staying in a country in which we don't have citizenship is some kind of right owed to us, right?
You know, it's alarming to the left-wing Democrats that there were actually a significant number of Mexican-Americans who voted for Donald Trump, because these are people who have jobs and pay taxes and own businesses. And if the media hadn't been so incredibly hostile, there would have been, in fact, a larger number. You know, in Portland, one of the hilarious things, a group of homosexuals tried to they were pro-Trump, and they wanted to carry pro-Trump signs in a gay rights parade. And this caused an outrage. Of course, the idea that that Donald Trump judges human beings by any standard but the cash they have in their wallet is extremely funny. he has a simple moral code. Rich people are good people, and the reason people are poor is because they're bad. So, you know, he doesn't care. Jew, Arab, Muslim, you know, black, white, straight, gay. Trump doesn't care about any of that stuff. And it's very funny that the American people is so irrational and so manipulable by the media that I think people have really believed that Donald Trump is a homophobic bigot. And he's also an anti-Semite, despite the fact that his daughter Ivanka married an Orthodox Jew and converted to Judaism, but Donald is still an anti-Semite.
Well, I mean, we know that he also ruins the careers of D-list comedians. Isn't that right, Dr. Fun?
Yeah, you're the Kathy Griffin phenomenon. You know, I'm lucky because most of my adult life I have been without television. We currently have a TV, and in fact, it's quite a nice. It's when this overpriced thing was being sold to me, the Sony dealer said, you know, this is the finest small television on the market. I said, small television. This TV is as big as I am, but it's a. But anyway, we have cable, we have everything, except we don't watch 1 minute a week because there's nothing to watch. So I didn't even know who Kathy Griffin was when she held up the severed head of Donald Trump like she was putting on a performance of The Bacchae of Euripides or doing a, I guess maybe she thought she was doing a Salome with the head of John the Baptist. Hmm. Now,
but at least Salome had talent. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, and she was cute.
These are things that red-blooded men, I suppose, care about, Dr. Fleming. You know, not cisgender types like yourself.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Can't you know the idea? You know, Kathy Griffin has, she, as they used to say, she has a face for radio.